Our scripture this morning is from Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. It's one of those scriptures that I think is particularly suitable for this kind of atmosphere that we're in today. The writer says, "Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Yes, all who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear. I will help you." At some point in time, and perhaps that time is right now, someone is asking, what did you or do you miss because of the COVID-19 pandemic? This, of course, while we're gathered at home with friends and family, and we're taking leisurely meals at our favorite neighborhood restaurants, and we have those wonderful chance interactions with colleagues at the office. While you're pondering the hundreds of possible responses to this question, let me use my privilege and go to the head of the line and give you my choice. I miss simple human touch. Particularly in these days of 6 feet of separation, face masks, and surgical gloves. We're normally a huggy, feely, kissy kind of species. Human touch and human contact is how we first connect to another human being, beginning with mother and child. There's a wonderful photograph. I only saw it recently out in the, as you go, leave Fellowship Hall and you go down the steps to the chapel. It's up on the upper right-hand side. It's a photograph of an infant clutching at the adult finger, the finger of an adult. It makes me smile every time I pass it. Human touch is one of the things that keeps us connected throughout our lives, right to the end. I felt this in a personal way in the weeks before my father passed away a number of years ago. My sole communication with him was limited solely to touch. When I visited him in the nursing home, I took the opportunity whenever I could to gently squeeze his hand. And more often than not, he squeezed mine in return, and sometimes he didn't. But for that brief moment, we were still connected. Again, I'll remember that for the rest of my life. We begin life with the touch of a loved one, and if we're lucky, we end our lives the same way. One of the greatest tragedies of our COVID experience is that victims are sometimes denied this simple but precious comfort. My heart goes out to anyone who has suffered from this horrible pain, this sense of isolation, the frustration of not being able to be with their loved one. In time, I think we'll come to understand the many ways in which this pandemic has changed our day-to-day lives, directly or indirectly, some cases permanently. For example, how we studied, how and where we worked, how we socialized with our friends, how and where we ate our meals. New things in our lives called Zoom and Skype. I think as we look back, we'll see that this pandemic has affected us in ways that we just couldn't have foreseen. Not all of them good, most of them apparently bad. Missed time at school, missed time at work, lost jobs, and lost businesses. Long lines for COVID-19 testing. Long waits to sign up for unemployment. Long lines for food. Isolation. Despair. When's mommy or daddy coming home? Why can't I visit them in the hospital? This pandemic is punishing us not just with medical and economic costs, but with emotional and spiritual costs that can't be measured ever in dollars and cents. So what do I miss? What do I want? To begin with, I want a hug. I want a handshake. I want a pat on the shoulder. Even a fist bump will do. Even dancing cheek to cheek may qualify. Human touch. Human connection. And that's just a beginning. I don't think there is any substitute for human contact. And I must say, elbow bumps do not qualify as human contact. When we're deprived of human touch, we get isolated and we have this terrible feeling of being alone. And that, particularly for older folks like me, just isn't good, just isn't healthy. One of the wonderful things that I recall when this COVID thing came up in the beginning was that the deacons in this church called people that they knew were alone and made contact with them. What a wonderful thing to do. And I talked to people who had received those phone calls, and they were all so happy. A simple touch of the hand can go a long way. I could give you, off the top of my head, 50 well-known phrases that involve hands, like, need a hand? Take my hand. Hold my hand. Give me a hand. Are you right-handed or are you left-handed? I want to sit at the right hand of God. Hand it over. My hands are tied. And my mother's favorite, idle hands are the devil's workshop, Lester. And it goes on and on. You remember the old AT&T slogan, reach out and touch someone? Well, why don't we all reach out? I think we reach out for someone for one of two reasons. It's really very basic. Either we want to offer help or we want to ask for help. On one hand, we reach out for help because we're sorely wounded, spiritually, mentally, or physically. When we're spiritually lost or confused, we obviously need guidance and clarity to get us back on the track. And we lose our way. Isolation has that effect on us. We reach out to others when we realize whatever the task may be, whatever the need is, we just can't give it to ourselves. We can't do the work alone. We can't provide it for ourselves. We need someone to be with us. We need an angel sitting on our shoulder. We need to know that the right hand, the virtuous right hand of God, is there for us to grasp. I think it's awfully hard for us human beings to admit that we can't do it for ourselves in every instance. It's probably just a question of humility. When we see the person in need, we reach out our hand for help, and we offer whatever assistance we can. Remember the Good Samaritan. There's a lesson in that. We do it sometimes instinctively, and sometimes we do it after just a little bit of consideration. Sometimes we're reluctant, just plain old reluctant, to offer help. But But most of the times we reach out nonetheless. So we ask for help, we offer help. One way or the other, we end up touching. And in touching, I think we connect with another soul. And also, I don't think there's any shame if you find the need to ask for help and admitting that you can't do the job by yourself. There is, of course, always the possibility of rejection. You ask for help and everybody seems to pass you by. Heads are turned the other way. They ignore you. Your needs and your pleas are ignored, and for a moment you ask, "What's wrong with me? Am I not worthy of your care or your love or your concern?" It's like somebody is saying, "Hey, buddy, you got yourself into this mess. You're going to have to get yourself out. I can't be bothered. It's just not my problem." Maybe it's a question of pride. Maybe it's a question of prejudice. Maybe there's a feeling that no one will help a wretch like me. But we have to remember the rest of the words to that wonderful song, "I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind and now can see." So is the hope of God's grace touching us and taking us into his hands. There are those times when the offer of help and assistance is just rejected by the person who needs the help. Sometimes there's a myriad of defenses that the person has that just get in the way. And that's not our fault. That's not our fault. Sometimes the condition of the person that we're going to help is so bad that the situation demands skills that we just don't possess, medical skills. The only thing that we can do, the caregiver can do, is sit with the person and hold the person's hand. Give him or her comfort until better qualified help arrives. But maybe just holding a person's hand and giving that comfort and giving that hope is enough. Maybe it's the first step towards healing. I think it is. The willingness to offer your hand to someone in spiritual, mental, or physical need isn't just an individual attribute. It's a collective and community responsibility as well. There are online support groups, groups of people who share common disorders, common concerns, that join together to share their experience, strength, and hope, their time, their treasure, and their talent with each other to address the needs particular to the issue at hand. And when you think about it, that's what Southport Congregational Church is all about. Helping others, helping ourselves. Volunteering your time and money or energy to help others doesn't just make the world better, it makes us as individuals better. Doing good for others feels good. It gives us a sense that we're there to care. Studies indicate that the very act of giving back to the community really can be measured in increased happiness, health, and a sense of well-being. With advances in therapeutics and vaccines, we'll eventually subdue this virus. The good news, we're going to win. It may take us some time, but we're going to win, as we have other medical threats that we've faced. After taking such a grievous toll, there will be a time when there are far fewer new cases. Far more importantly, there will be fewer deaths. COVID-19 will be lodged in our memories, not impressed on our foreheads. Eventually, we'll all have COVID-19 stories to tell. The heroic caregivers who willingly sacrifice so much of themselves for the benefit of others will return to something closer to a routine, and they'll have stories to tell. Businesses shuttered by pandemic will blossom anew like flowers in spring. Children will go back to school. Mothers will be happy to know that. Hopefully, well-meaning individuals from the private and public sector will come together to prepare for and hopefully prevent the next tragic event that may be lurking just around the corner. Rest assured, we will hug again. We will hold hands and we will shake hands again. And it says here, we will dance together, cheek to cheek, again. Not in my time, but we will. After all, it's God's promise. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Keep the faith, my brothers and sisters, keep the faith. Amen.
God of reckless love, of rain that nourishes our soil so that the food it produces may nourish our bodies. God of bees who hum with some ancient rhythm of the earth. God of this moment, of here and now. Hello. Hello to this day that you have created. Hello to possibility and peace. Hello to all the messy learning. Hello to this hard and holy business of being alive. Hello, God, and thank you. Thank you for simple pleasures, for ice cream and sandy feet, for your presence in laughter and joy. And thank you for being with us in the other moments, too, the sleepless nights and difficult decisions. Thank you for the peace that surpasses us and the knowledge that we are never truly stuck when you are with us, that you can hold our fear and our messy humanity, that you always make a way. Remind us, Lord, that there is room for us, that you who know us and search us have made space for us, and that every time we go wandering, you call us back with arms outstretched, ready to help us carry the next load. Help us to examine our living, God, to lean into this love you have given, to see it in the faces of strangers we pass, to feel the truth of that love, so that we may look at our lives, at all the moments when we have had a choice, at every mistake and turning point that brings us closer to your mighty grace, and say, Amen. God of this wild and precious life, thank you. All this we pray in the name of the one who is perfect love. Amen.